A little background for today's scripture lessons and for today's sermon, but also about last week's sermon and the sermons you'll hear in the coming weeks. Last Sunday, the first Sunday of the Lenten season, Kent Slotty, our Connecticut Conference, United Church of Christ Conference minister, came and began our Lenten sermon series with the title, Be the Church. And for the next few weeks, Kate, Elizabeth, and I will offer sermons on that same theme of Be the Church, with our preaching topics focused on just a few of the sub-themes, including love God, enjoy this life. And today I'm combining two of those sub-themes, care for the poor and fight for the powerless. Regarding today's topic, fighting and caring for the poor and the powerless, this morning's scripture passages that John will read at first glance might seem to be at odds with one another. We are sort of left wondering exactly who is supposed to be doing the fighting and caring. Is the Bible giving us a mixed message? You see, as you listen first to Psalm 68, you will notice that it is clearly God that is the who has promised to be the protector of people, especially the protector of people to whom life has dealt a pretty poor hand. But then, after the psalm, John will read the words of the Apostle Paul, the words from which we derive our commissioning that we say almost every week at the end of our service. And in these exhortative and encouraging words, it seems that the people of God and not God are the ones who are called to protect the poor and the powerless. So, friends, who is it, God or the people of God, who are called to do the fighting and the caring?
The first reading from Psalm 68. Let God rise up, let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful, let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, you went out before your people when you marched through the wilderness and the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain, and the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Second lesson from Thessalonians. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faithful, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. But test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. And abstain from evil. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Well, what do you think? Isn't God pretty annoying at times? I mean, we all know that people are annoying when they repeat themselves over and over and over again. Don't forget to take out the garbage. Don't forget to take out the garbage. Don't forget. Pick up your dirty laundry. Pick up your dirty laundry. Pick up your dirty laundry. Can you please fix that broken door lock? Can you please fix that broken door lock? Please, can you fix it? Repetition is a time-honored, if slightly annoying, tradition to get someone to do something. And it clearly is a strategy that God has chosen out of necessity. You see, we are all human, and so sometimes we do forget to take out the garbage, pick up the dirty laundry, or fix something at home. At least I do. Yes, we are all human, and so sometimes we do forget to fight and care for the poor and the powerless. But through the years, through the centuries, and through the millennium, actually, God has had some partners in crime, if you will, in repeating the same message over and over and over again. Over time, God has recruited a pretty diverse group of allies to get the message across to the sometimes hard of hearing human race. And so the message of fighting and caring for the poor and the powerless has come not only from 11th century psalmist or 7th century prophet named Amos or Micah, but also from a dazzling 20th and 21st century rock star and a quiet, humble South African Anglican cleric. God, the psalmist, Amos, Micah, a rock star, an archbishop, all with the same message repeated over and over and over again. You all know Paul David Hewson, Bono, born in a working class section of Dublin, Ireland, primary vocalist, of course, for U2, already inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, captured God's message in this way. God is in the slums, in the cardboard boxes where poor children play house. God is in the silence of a mother who has infected her child with a virus that will end both their lives. God is in the cries heard under the rubble of war. God is in the debris of wasted opportunity and lives. And God is with us if we are with them. And to hear the exact same sentiment not from another rock star, but from Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu, one just needs to cross the ocean waters to South Africa and hear these words of Tutu. If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Simply put, throughout history, human societies, if left unchecked, can easily forget, or worse still, prey on the weak and the powerless. They did it back in the psalmist time, 11th century BCE. They did it in the 7th century when the angry prophets Amos and Micah were calling for justice for the widow, the orphaned, and the foreigner. And they did it in the 20th century, and now even still in the 21st century. The weak, the poor, and the powerless are often forgotten and sometimes preyed upon. But there is some good news. We do know that over the last 3,000 years since when the psalmist spoke, there has been great progress that has uplifted so many people out of desperate poverty and deprivation. And that was the message, perhaps you saw it, of an interview that was in the Sunday New York Times, I think about 3 weeks ago. The reporter was talking to Bill Gates of Microsoft, and Harvard professor Steven Pinker, author of the recent book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined. Pinker made this insightful observation. You can say the same fact in two ways. Extreme global poverty has reduced from 90% 200 years ago to 10% today. That's great, he writes. Or you can say more than 700 million people in the world live in extreme poverty today. He said, they're the same fact, and you have to be able to describe them to yourself in both ways. In other words, Pinker and Gates believe that progress has been made for the weak and the powerless, but they both agree that fighting and caring for the least of these remains as critical as it has ever been. Bill Gates said, and I quote, "Seeing the world through the eyes of that poor kid ideally inspires you to give more money, even though there are many fewer such kids than 50 years ago. Seeing the world through different eyes. That's what I think we are called to do as people of faith. For instance, we are called to see the world through the eyes of a senior citizen whose food and nutritional benefits will be drastically reduced, perhaps by as much as 30%, if the current federal budget is passed as presented. We are called to see the world through the eyes of those more than 300 children in the Greater New Britain area who won't have a warm bed to sleep in tonight because their families are homeless. And we are called to see the world through the eyes of the 15 million children who live in refugee camps around the world, but who will benefit from our gifts to One Great Hour of Sharing. And we are called to see our world through the eyes of children served by Little City Sprouts and by our gifts to the Manchester Area Conference of Churches. And yes, we are called to see the world through the eyes of children who now go to school fearful that their school might be next in the seemingly endless nightmare of our nation's idolatrous obsession with guns. How many children are we responsible for? How many children are we called to fight and care for? We, of course, can't possibly touch the lives of every child in this world who is at this very moment homeless, hungry, cold, scared, alone, being bombed. And no, of course, we can't fight and care for everyone who is poor and powerless, but we can try and we can do our part. And we are doing our part individually and as the beloved community that we call First Church. We are doing our part to share our love with children both near and far. In the early 90s, when war was raging in Yugoslavia, a reporter was in Sarajevo to cover the fighting. He was watching what was going on, and then he saw a young little girl shot by a sniper. He threw down his pad and his pen, left the role of being a reporter, and ran over to the man who now had this bleeding child in his arms. The reporter got the man and the little girl in his car, pushed on the accelerator, and headed for the hospital. "Hurry, my friend. My little child is alive. Hurry, my friend. My little child is still warm. Hurry, my friend. My child is still breathing. Hurry, my friend. Oh God, my child is getting cold." They arrived at the hospital, but they were too late. the little girl died. When the reporter and the man were in the bathroom washing their hands and their clothes to get some of the blood off, the man said to the reporter, "I have a terrible task now. I must go tell the father that his little girl had died. He will be heartbroken." The reporter was confused. He said to the man, "But I thought that little girl was your child." "No," the man said, "but aren't they all our children?" Think what you might do this week or this very day to help a child through a lonely night, to help a child with a pain that they might fear. And may our prayers always be to a holy Mother God to hold and care for children throughout the world.